T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, everybody. Rob Ellis in for John Marks along with Ike Reese. Ike, good to see you, my man. As always, happy Tuesday to you, my man.
Robbie, what's up, brother? Holla at you, boy.
It's all good. It's all good. Jack Fitz, producer of the program. And Ike, we got the what I call the sports talk show host combo last night. From the Philadelphia Phillies.
Oh, yeah, when you get the good and the bad.
You got the good and the bad, man. You got an offensive explosion from the Philly. Really right out of the chute. You thought this was going to be feet up, offense explodes, Nola's dealing again, and no sweat. I could pop around, start watching some NBA or some whatever else is
take
on.
Take the night off, yeah.
Take the night off, you know, kick, watch a movie, whatever you got going on. I don't know why. I think I'm a glutton for punishment. I had a sense that he wasn't going to have Nola go the distance, Joe Girardi, so I stayed with it a little bit just out of some morbid curiosity to see what the bullpen was going to do. And we had yet another implosion, Ike. It was to the point where Hector Neris had to get up in a game that was 13-1 going into the ninth.
Yeah. I know we sound like a broken record, but I think that record will continue to play as these guys go through the season, and that is – the bullpen has been frustrating, and I am not of the same mindset that the people who are upset at yesterday's win are, you know, who walk away from that win saying, how do we give up 7 runs in the top of the ninth? You take a 13-1 game and make everybody have to basically sweat it out for the final out. And we know how we arrived at that point. It's because of the bullpen. And I'm not upset at Joe Girardi for not bringing Aaron Nola back out. I can buy the explanation that you want to protect his arm because, quite frankly, the risk isn't worth the reward. Had it been a 4-run lead, okay. 5-run lead, okay. Yeah, you're talking about a 12-run lead. The reason I don't have an issue is because I think there would be greater outrage if Nola tweaked something by going back out there. Mm-hmm. Or how about this? And I know he was pitching phenomenal last night, and that should be the story of the game.
That and the offense.
Along with the offense.
Yeah.
But if he goes out there and, say, he gives up 2 or 3 runs, like, what's it's not worth it to have his night end that way, even though he would still get the victory.
Yeah.
Because there's not enough of cushion there. You wanted him to end on a high note. You wanted him to end healthy. That's the number one objective. You also want to win the game. You got that accomplished. And you know what? The bullpen is what it is. They gave up 7 runs. That wasn't going to change just because they had a 12-run lead. We know they're bad. Mm-hmm. We know they're bad. But yesterday's game should be about that offensive explosion and Aaron Nola looking even stronger in his third outing. He's looked better with each start
against 2 stud lineups.
Yes.
You know, I mean, he's taken down now and absolutely dominated the Yankees and the Braves. He's not facing the Orioles or some other garbage team. Mm-hmm. So kudos to Aaron Nola, who looks like he's Cy Young Aaron Nola again. You know, and that's huge.
And we're going to need him.
Here's the thing, that gets lost in the bullpen's mess. Philly starters, 3.20 ERA, which is 5th best in Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. Their starters have been more than good, okay? I have zero issue like you with Girardi. Look, if your bullpen can't mop up a 12-run lead, then what are we doing here? Like, this is not Joe Girardi's fault. This is the incompetence of the front office and or the owner who is not willing to spend and put any money into that bullpen. That's who this is on. This isn't on the manager. He should be able to turn that over to his bullpen anytime you're up nearly two touchdowns.
And I agree. And the fact that Nick Pivetta hadn't pitched in a few days and they wanted to get him some work, I'm okay with that as well. Here's why. You got a 12-run cushion, and certainly you would have hoped for Pivetta to go out there and pitch better, but I would rather have Nick Pivetta come in that situation as opposed to come into a situation where it can cost you the game.
Well, that won't happen.
Right.
You are not going to see him in anything relatively.
And that's really what they told you.
Yeah.
They didn't pitch him in any of the games over the weekend.
Yep.
And
to the point where Girardi had to call him and say, I'm putting you in here. Be ready.
Be ready to go.
And he looked real ready.
And this is also on Nick Pivetta. And this is why people have been frustrated with Nick Pivetta, not just fans, people in the Phillies organization, whether or not he's really mentally ready to be at this level. Take the mound like a professional and command the mound. See, part of me believes that Nick Pivetta felt like, oh, you're trying to treat me like a scrub?
Right.
You're going to run me out here in a 12-run game? You didn't pitch me all weekend? You're damn right. You didn't deserve to pitch all weekend. And you're damn right I'm running you out here in a 12-run game. How about you go out here and get three outs?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, who the hell is Nick Pivetta under any circumstance to balk at anything? You're lucky you're a major league player, and probably not for long.
Yeah.
You're lucky you're a Philadelphia Philly. There should never have to be a conversation, hey, Nick, I know we're up 12 runs, and this probably isn't ideal. Like, kudos to Joe Girardi for even doing it, but he didn't even need to do that.
No,
like,
he didn't.
Dude, just get up, and you're pitching.
And they've been dealing with this with Nick Pivetta over the last couple of years, being able to manage him from a mental toughness standpoint so that he can live up to what they think is in that body of his.
Yeah.
But again, the issue is whether or not is this dude locked in. He has a higher opinion of himself than he should.
Right.
And there's no doubt in my mind he took that mound last night feeling slighted.
He wasn't dialed in.
No.
Not that it matters even when he is, but like he got one out and gave up six runs.
But here's an opportunity, Rob. If he's seeing this thing through realistic lens, he should know, dude, you're hanging on by thread.
Yeah.
You're hanging on by thread. So the fact they haven't sent you down yet or just gotten rid of you, I mean, they're giving you an opportunity to at least earn a spot in the bullpen.
Yeah.
Like, how about you take one of these spots that we need somebody to step up and grab in the bullpen so that you can have a significant role on the team?
And here's the thing that's tough. You want to – there are things that happen that you want to get excited. I mean, the offense really came through last night. Noah looks really good. As I pointed out, the starters have done their job, and you want to get encouraged about this. And, yeah, they won the game, and that's the bottom line, okay? And they you know, split the series with the Braves and all that. But, man, you just don't want it to end that way on that note where you're coming away from a game when you put up a 13 spot. You should never – and your starter's awesome. You should never feel bad or indifferent or mixed in any way.
Yeah, and the unfortunate part is one thing for us to feel that way on the outside, but I guarantee you those players sitting in that dugout or out there in the field who got to shag all these hard-hit balls that are coming from Nick Pivetta and Kelly. I want to call him Tom Kelly so bad.
TK could do it better.
Yes. No, I think it's fine to call him Tom Kelly.
My bad,
Angry Teeks. Tom.
Yeah, but Tom Kelly is the first name that keeps popping in my head. Tim Kelly?
Trevor
Kelly. Yeah, we'll get it right here sooner or later.
You won't have to know that name much longer.
Yeah, I do that often with these guys that have pitched.
And then they'll be gone.
Or caught the ball for the Eagles in the last 2 years.
Yeah, it'll be all right.
It's a reoccurring thing.
Yeah, they have to earn their name on this show. Cravion LeBlanc earned his name. He was Le'Veon.
Yes, he was Cravion LaBelle or something for weeks there.
Yeah.
But my point is that those guys are out there shagging these balls and they're saying, dude – really?
Yeah.
Like, this thing all of a sudden has turned into batting practice?
I know. When it should not have been a sweat. And the fact that Hector Neris had to get up last night.
Right.
Come on. Like, what is happening?
Yeah.
You're not exactly bringing these guys in high leverage situations. Give me a break. So that brings us to our Twitter question of the day. And you go to @MarksReeseWIP. Twitter question of the day brought to you by Marks Jewelers. Marks is offering 5 years of no interest for all diamond rings purchased in August. Shop local. Buy her the ring you want now. Details, marks-jewelers.com. D, Did Joe Girardi make the right decision by pulling Aaron Nola last night? Yes or no? Ike Reese.
Yes.
I agree with that right now. Yes is leading, and we will keep you updated throughout the course
go.
Of the
Smart
program.
Baseball people.
There you go, people. Yes. All right, so there's the Phillies where we had the good, no bad, really. It was the good and the ugly. There wasn't even a bad, okay? It was just good and ugly early, and Nola, unbelievable. Bats, kudos. I mean, Ike, long ball last night. I mean, 14 hits, 5 home runs, everybody. Barrel started it off with a couple knocks, as usual.
Is that what we're going with?
Well, most people like Goose. I like Barrels.
Well, because Goose isn't his nickname.
It isn't?
You're anti-Barrels?
No, Barrels is his nickname.
No, Barrels just doesn't roll off the
tongue. I love Barrels. You're a Goose guy.
I'm more of a PG guy.
PG?
Paul George and Phil Gosselin?
Yeah, I'm more
you
of a PG
guy. Maybe that'll be our Twitter question
later. I'm more of an initial guy.
Jack,
I'm more of a PG guy.
Goose, Barrels, or PG?
All right,
a little bit later. All right, we'll ask that. All right, so there was a lot of good to take away
from
the
Phillies.
There
was some hitting going on last night, Robbie.
There was. It's hitting season, as you mentioned yesterday, as Charlie used to say. So, but some bad as well. So we'll talk about the Phillies and whether or not Girardi made the right decision. I say 100%. You're up 12 runs. Give me a break. No issue pulling him whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Ike, here's the other thing, man. Sixers play a little bit later. Mm-hmm. You and I think, are suiting up, as a matter of fact. There is no one playing in this game for them.
I did get the text message from the front office.
Get the hammies ready?
Yeah.
Just get loose? We know Embiid's out. Mm-hmm. We know Simmons is out. Mm-hmm. No Josh Richardson. Possibly no Tobias Harris. Mm. This could be interesting. You know, some of the – Norvell Pell with 35 minutes played, potentially.
Yeah, and the Suns are fighting for their playoff lives.
Yeah,
and they're undefeated in the bubble.
Yeah, they still have life.
I would imagine this won't go well for the Sixers.
But it wasn't necessarily who's going to be on the floor. It's one of those guys who's going to be in, you know, street clothes watching the game, Joel Embiid, who joined our old buddy J.J. Redick's podcast.
Ah. Oh, JJ, huh?
Now, Ike, if you remember back to the first half, I'm going to say before, you know, any kind of shutdown, certainly before, you know, All-Star game and all that. It was a weird year for Joel Embiid. You know, he wasn't playing really up to his ability, wasn't dominating every single night like we had become accustomed to, and he was moody. At one point, it looked like he wanted to sort of turn heel and be a bad guy, and I'm renting real estate in guys' heads. And then he went back to wanting to be happy Joel and, you know, trust the process.
I got to be myself.
Yeah, like,
go
weird.
Back to having fun.
Charles and Shaq ripped him, and he sort of owned it, but then he was mopey.
Right.
I don't know what was going on. Nobody really did. Mm-hmm. So there may have been some clarification to the mood swings during the first part of the season, because Joel joined J.J. Redick's podcast. And, Jack, let's have that bad boy ready. Here's what he had to say regarding why he was acting that way.
And I won't lie. Like, during the season, like, I was not there. Like, I just wasn't comfortable. Like, the offense wasn't the same. Like, basketball was not the same to me. And the way things happened last summer, it was just so frustrating. So I was kind of, like, mad at the whole world. And I was just like, whatever. I'm just coming to work and I'm going to do my best, but I wasn't like playing up to my standards. And it was hard. It was a big change, but you know, you adjust. Every year is going to be different, and this year was different. But I still believe we got a big chance to make it happen. We can win the whole thing.
Okay. Let's start with this, Ike. Joel Embiid this season made $27.5 million. Mm-hmm. And he says it was just like whatever to me.
Yeah.
You know,
not what you want to hear.
He's 26 or 27, whatever he is at this point. He's not 19 or 18 years old. Mm-hmm. I will tell you flat out, and I do think that he should have been consulted on these moves a little bit more than maybe he was. Clearly he wasn't consulted, because he's made no bones about how much he misses JJ and how much he wanted Jimmy Butler to be here, et cetera. And I'm sure that's great, sits well with his teammates. But that's a disgrace. He's telling you he wasn't giving you full effort and really wasn't mentally dialed in like he should have been.
Yeah, and it's disappointing. We saw it. You chronicled how he was up and down all year with his emotions. You stated it perfectly, and just hearing you say those things and going back, reflecting on it, I'm like, yeah, it's been an up-and-down year with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, but Joel Embiid, who we're talking about right now, and he certainly hadn't been playing at an all-NBA level before the shutdown, and he looked like he was not all in. And we've heard Tobias Harris and other guys talk about team chemistry and guys not being together. And this is how I know – well, this is where I become concerned about Joel Embiid, where I don't have these concerns about Carson Wentz. Mm-hmm. Carson may be a little bit older, but he's also in a position and has always been in a position of leadership. Now, you may not like his leadership style, mm-hmm. but he's never shied away from being at the front of the line.
You never questioned whether he was dialed in.
Exactly.
Either.
You've never had to question that about him. And with Joel Embiid, you know, I know Tobias Harris is a couple years older, but there shouldn't be any question as to who's the leader of this team. It should be Joel Embiid.
Yeah, you're the foundation, man.
But it's not.
No.
And it's not because he doesn't want to be that guy, because he doesn't care to be that guy, because he's still too immature to realize the responsibility of being that guy. Mm-hmm. Like, he's still too immature to realize you're still – whining about what's not here as if somehow the organization let all the talent go and left you with Smush Parker and Kwame Brown mm-hmm. and Chris Mims, mm-hmm. right? Like,
yeah.
like you act like the organization left you with nobody to go into battle with. You have a good enough squad that could be better if you were dialed in.
Yep.
If you were locked in, playing on both ends of the court, being the first guy to the gym, the last guy to leave. How about this, Joel? If you were the one organizing team functions for the players.
Not Tobias Harris, who's been here for 5 minutes. Yeah.
See, Tobias Harris finally said, you know what? I can't sit around and wait any longer.
Somebody's
got
to do something.
Somebody has to do something.
Yep.
So Tobias Harris has been the one who's done it. Not you, Joel. Because you want Jimmy here. Because mm-hmm. you want JJ here. Because Ben wants Shoot.
Yep.
Right? Like, you've been pouting about that the whole time. Well, guess what? You can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. You can't want all the adulation and love and the face of the franchise and the max contract and everything's the process. It's about you. And then when things get tough, you don't want to be the one who's the first one to step up.
Yep. Yeah, and here's what I'll tell you, and we'll step aside and we'll start fielding our Phillies.
You know, I love Embiid.
I do too.
But that's what's frustrating about it.
That to me is unacceptable for a guy who's been around as long as he has now. It's completely unacceptable, and I'll tell you, they got big problems. They got big picture problems between his immaturity, Simmons' unwillingness to shoot. There's major problems.
Brett Brown on the way out.
And capped out
yeah.
in a bad way with contracts that nobody wants any parts of. So we'll talk about that as well. 215-592-9494. 3 o'clock, Ricky Pitalico is going to join us. Ricky almost
Ricky
blew a
Bobo?
Gasket last night. Bobo's going to join us.
Last night he almost blew a gasket? Or
oh, yeah.
Just watching this Phillies bullpen in general.
He said, I sat down to do this postgame show in a good mood 20 minutes ago, and I'm not in a good mood anymore. So we'll see what kind of mood Bobo was in at 3 o'clock. We will talk to Ricky. We got a million other things we're going to get to today, including the Flyers, including the Eagles, including some weird cryptic tweets, guys who are back for the Eagles now, things to be encouraged about, and just the question of why isn't there more hype surrounding this Eagles season. We'll get into all that. Ike Reese, I'm Rob Ellis, in for John Marks. WIP Sports Time is 218.
Pulling him, and I told him, and I understand if he's upset with me, I'm okay with that. But the prize is not in the month of August, and we need him to be healthy, and we don't need him to get fatigued. He'll come back on normal rest again.
That's Joe Girardi last night after the game. I don't think in any way, shape, or form Aaron Nola is angry at him. It is interesting, though. Aaron Nola's never had a complete game in his career, but I agree with Girardi, and I disagreed with him last week in the doubleheader when Hector Neris got up and threw one pitch and he didn't use him in the second game of the doubleheader. I thought that was an example of just being overly conservative.
Yes.
I don't think this is one of them. 89 pitches, he was cruising, the game was out of reach. I mean, you had pulled, you moved Real Muto to first, you had Knapp catching. Like, you made moves accordingly with the fact that you were up 12 freaking runs. I don't have a problem with Joe Girardi making this move. I know people do, and I think people are of the belief, if these guys can go as a complete game and I can avoid the inning, the bullpen at all costs, do it. This is one, to me, where you're really reaching if you're blaming Girardi for this.
Yeah, I think people are obviously frustrated at the bullpen and the fact that they were able to go and they went in there and gave up seven runs between Kelly and Pivetta last night. But I won't necessarily – yeah, this isn't a Joe Girardi thing. This is more of a – this is another example of this bullpen and how inept they are at going out there and doing their job. Now, this is what Joe Girardi has. It's not his fault that this is what the front office has given him to work with when you have a 12-run lead in a game that you got a chance to get some guys some work who hasn't gotten any work, who need it, and your starter – it's giving you almost 90 pitches. Like, that's a logical managerial decision.
Sure, it is.
Yeah, that's not something you second guess. Now, obviously, people were like, oh, Lord, he's going to the bullpen. But no one really thought when he went to the bullpen they were going to blow a 12-run lead.
No, not at all.
Yes.
Not at all. And you pointed out earlier, if this was a 4-run lead, he's still in there. And I believe Girardi would have kept it. He'll never say that publicly,
right,
but he would have.
Yep.
Not 12.
Yep.
All right, interesting, Ike, because we talked about this yesterday. You remember the melee between the Astros and the A's on Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
So Alex Cintron and Ramon Laureano, okay?
Yeah.
So Cintron was the coach, the hitting coach, who was basically taunting Laureano, saying, bring it on, in the dugout, and then hid behind everybody like a real tough guy.
Yeah.
Okay? I told you he shouldn't coach again this year. So Bob Nightingale of USA Today tweeted out that Alex Cintron is going to get a 20-game suspension, believed to be the largest levied against an MLB coach.
Wow.
I don't think it's enough. They've played 16 games, okay?
Wow.
I would have whacked them for the rest of the year.
Wow.
You really want to send a message about not fighting in a COVID era with social distancing? Make that dude the first example. 20 games is another weak slap on the wrist, even though it's the largest that's ever been levied against a coach. I think it's weak.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay. 20?
Yep.
I don't have a problem with the 20. I think that gets everyone's attention. I certainly wouldn't have had a problem had they suspended him the whole season. I'm not going to make a defense case for a coach who basically incites a brawl during a pandemic when they basically put in a rule saying that's prohibited this year. Don't do that.
And Laureano said he said something about his mother.
Right.
On top
so, that probably should have given him, or maybe it did give him some more games. So,
right.
But I think the 20 games should get people's attention.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the 8 games to the pitcher Kelly.
Yeah, Joe Kelly.
Joe Kelly.
Not Trevor or Tim.
Right.
Or Tom.
that's a lot of Kellys. I thought that would get people's attentions because some people thought, well, Rob Manfred was ridiculous for suspending him at all, considering it was the Astros.
Right.
And people felt like they had this coming to them. I won't argue against that either. My whole argument against not doing anything to the pitcher, Kelly, at the time was, I understand the sentiment with the Astros, but the fact of the matter is there's a pandemic going on, and I don't want baseball shut down.
Exactly. Well, look what's happened already to the Cardinals.
What I'm saying. Like, I don't want baseball shut down, so you can't have these type of confrontations and interactions with teams.
Cards have played 5 games, Ike.
Yeah.
5.
You can't do that.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, we didn't like it when the Phillies were shut down for a week, and they had nobody test positive.
Exactly.
So I don't want to see the sport be in jeopardy of being shut down. And if that means we got to pull our emotions, pull the reins in on our emotions, and you can't do some of the unwritten rules that are normally applied to baseball, then that's what you got to do for the greater good of the sport.
No question about it. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop on. We gave you a lot of Phillies and a lot of Sixers in that first segment. And one of the questions I'll throw out there and throw it to you, Ike, better chance of turning this thing around. Now, I say turn around, you know, Phillies are early in the season. The Sixers are headed to the postseason, most likely going to be a sixth seed and take on the Celtics. Which team has a better shot at kind of getting on the track of being a championship team in your estimation right now? Oof, yeah.
Well, I think the easy answer is the Phillies because of sort of where the belief level is at right now with the Sixers. But if I'm looking at it from a practical standpoint, it's so much harder in baseball where the Phillies are to even win their division versus where the Sixers are. They have the talent here, and maybe the issue is the coach. Maybe that changes the fortune of these players and the culture. Mm. Those players are still young. They're going to be a playoff team every year. I can't say the Phillies are going to be a playoff team every year. So I think the nature of basketball, and because LeBron is on his way out over the next couple of years, I don't see another dominant basketball team. I see good players, but I don't see a dominant basketball team where it's going to keep the Sixers from being in the conversation unless you break this group up.
Yep.
And the Phillies, while I like where they're going, and it may take them another year or two to actually get there, I believe the Phillies probably have the more solid foundation.
Longer term.
To get it done.
Rather
yes.
than short term.
Yes. Right. Can we forget, you still got Spencer Howard, you still got Alec Bohm that you're going to bring up. So there's still some other young players that you're going to add to this. But then I'm more concerned also about the Phillies front office and who's running the team.
Exactly.
I got no issues with Joe Girardi, but
– the guys above him.
Yes.
We don't.
Yeah. Exactly. Jack's guys, yes.
Hey, just a footnote to that, and we'll get right to the phones. And by the way, we are going to get a statement later in the show. From Jackie Pivetta.
I already gave my statement.
No, he thought he was going to get away with putting something out there on social media last night where he could just do it and then run and hide into a shelter.
Right.
Not happening. When do you want to do that, Ike? We'll do that after Ricky Bo. How about that?
All right. Give him enough time to muster up the passion that I need him to have.
And I don't want to hear, hey, he left the game with a lead. Okay? Don't even try that one, Jack.
I mean, he did hold the lead.
Oh, here we go. All right, so a footnote to that. Ramon Laureano, the player involved in that scuffle, got a 5-game suspension. So in comparison to the 20. Go back to the phones here. And Matt in Mayfair. Matt, you're on 94 WIP.
Rob, how you guys doing today?
What's up, man?
What's up, Matt?
So, Rob, congratulations, man. You're back to number 2 on that list of most knowledgeable baseball people.
I vaulted a spot. All right. I'm happy about that.
You know, the Jack Fritz thing last night kind of
set him down.
You know,
yeah, he lost some spots.
He lost a little bit. So, anyway, I'd like to kind of continue to talk about this bullpen. You know, it's embarrassing. What was most embarrassing for me was the fact that when going to the 9th inning, we're up 13-1. That you actually had to get your closer up. I know he didn't necessarily warm up, but he had to actually start getting loose. Now, as a manager, as a major league manager, I would be like steaming underneath my mask if that was the case. Am I wrong or right about that? Would you be, as Rob Ellis was the manager of the Phillies, would you be just so mad to have to make that phone call in the 9th inning of a 13-1 game to get your closer ready?
Yeah, the answer is yes, I would be, and yes, Girardi was. He'll never tell you that, but there's no question that he and Brian Price, look, there's changes coming, and it may happen before this game tonight, but that's the kind of thing from what they saw there, and that it's embarrassing to an organization is what it is. So, yes.
Yeah, and then, you know, maybe, and I'm not really that great of a baseball guy, but what I saw out of Nick Pivetta was, everything was flat. Everything was up. There was no movement on any pitch that he was throwing. Everything was down the middle. And did I see something wrong? I mean, he was throwing in the 90s, but it was all up. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was a lot up. And he clearly and look, did he have in some cases balls that maybe weren't hit all that hard? Yeah, some, but there were a ton of balls that were smoked. So they were seeing things very well. I mean, I'm trying to remember that Culbertson just turned on one and absolutely crushed it. And you kind of knew it was going to be one of those innings for him as soon as I saw that. I mean, that ball was absolutely smoked, went hard off the wall.
And it was funny when at the end of the game when they actually had Pivetta coming out of the dugout to congratulate his teammates. What do you think the team – I mean, as a teammate, what do you think you're out there on, like Bryce Harper, what do you think was going through his mind in the 9th inning as balls are launching out of Citizens Bank Park, and it's a 13-8 game.
Yeah, look, I'm sure he's...
Skip might have took me out too early.
Right, or he's saying to himself, man, that Dodgers deal looks pretty good right now. One or the other.
Listen, it's embarrassing. You know, I don't know what the answer is, but I would imagine teams are game planning. We just got to get to the sixth inning until that bullpen comes in and we can tear this game apart. It's embarrassing. It's a straight embarrassment to this organization. Matt Klintak should be embarrassed. He should really, I don't know how you wake up in the morning and cash your paycheck if you're Matt Klintak. I really don't know how you do it. So,
yeah,
again,
it's
guys, thanks for taking my
okay,
call.
Matt. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And what's happening is here's the worst part of it from a Phillies perspective. Like, as ugly as Sunday was, and it was hideous, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your offense drops 13. Your starting pitcher is phenomenal. Yet, what's being spoken about more today? Is it Nola's outing? Is it the great offense? Or is it your bullpen? Like, that's a problem for the organization.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think they know that. I don't think anybody – now, listen, they can't come out and say these things publicly because they can't be ripping their players in the public eye. But I don't think anybody is fooling themselves into believing that this bullpen somehow – is going to flip a switch at some point and going to become one of the top 10 bullpens in baseball. I think they're searching for some reliable arms that they can be able to get through an inning with. That's going to be multiple guys before they're able to find guys that they can completely rely on for longer than one or two outings. That's the problem.
Right.
And that's the problem with bullpen guys is they're so hot and cold. And in a shortened season like this, even if a guy does look good for one or two outings, there's no guarantee because you don't have the track record that after teams have seen him a few times that they start to hit him as well. So I just think they're trying to survive this year with what they have. And good, it's a good thing that the bats came around yesterday, and they are going to need to continue to come around.
Yes.
Like it's like these guys are going to – I know they're not going to put up 13 runs. I know they're not going to have 14 hits on any given night. But you have to be – you have to live in that 5 to 6 to 7 run range every night.
Yeah.
And then some nights you're going to have to just hold on to your seat.
Yep.
For a 5-2 win, 5-3 win. Like that's what it's just going to be. But the idea that this team is going to need a 5-6 run lead every time they get to the eighth or ninth inning just to hold on to win, that's not going to happen.
Absolutely.
Like, that's not going to happen. And eventually it's going to all come out in the wash, and this is going to be a team that's going to lose its fair share of games like they win their fair share, and they're going to be somewhere around that 500 mark.
Which is probably getting you
it'll
in the playoffs.
It'll get you in the playoffs.
Now, however you want to look at it. And I'm on record as saying with the NHL and the NBA, there's no asterisk for me. Like, this is going to be a tough slog to get through this thing, especially after being off for 4 months. If you win it, you earn it. I'm not putting an asterisk next to it. Baseball.
Oh, I'm different. I got asterisks next for everybody.
See, baseball
for the Super Bowl
is littered with asterisks for me.
Yes.
I mean, you're talking about teams that aren't going to play the same amount of games because there's no way the Cardinals and likely the Marlins aren't going to play 60.
Yep.
You're talking about seven inning games, runners starting on second base, like all kinds of things altered that are out of the norm for baseball. Baseball gets the asterisks. Not the others. For me, not the other sports.
Yeah.
I think these guys, it's a tough go doing what they're doing in these bubbles.
Yeah.
And by the way, kudos to the NBA and NHL.
Mm-hmm.
No positive tests. No positive tests, man.
Yeah, they're in the bubble, and I think other than being away from your family, they got life on easy street.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm seeing guys on like water slides,
golfing, yeah, they're Disney World. They're safe. They don't have to worry about being infected because you're in a bubble.
Yeah.
So other than missing your family, which obviously is big, half of these guys don't even have wife and kids at home. Mm-hmm. So other than missing people you know that you can't get a hold of on a regular basis, you ain't missing nothing.
Define getting a hold of.
Yeah, well, you know what I'm saying. That's the toughest thing some of these.
Yeah.
That's the toughest thing they got to deal with. That's about it.
Yes.
That's about it.
Yeah. You want to expand on that?
No, I don't.
All right. So here's the question that I have, Ike.
I think
so,
we all kind of figured
it. I got you.
Is,
I just wanted to see if you would maybe say it. So, look, we get it with the Phillies, and the question is, and then our Twitter question is, should Girardi have kept Aaron Nola in there? And you can vote And look, we.
You said people are saying yes, huh?
Well, more are saying he did the right thing.
Okay.
Like what it is right now, I'll give you an update, in fact. Did Joe Girardi make the right decision by pulling Aaron Nola? You can go to at Marks Reese WIP. 60% say yes. Almost 40 are saying no. So he made the right decision pulling him, according to 60% of our audience thus far. 40%, though, are saying no. That's pretty close. And, you know, we'll monitor that throughout the course of the show. The other thing is we played for you the Joel Embiid soundbite from J.J. Redick's podcast. Mm-hmm. Am I the only one outraged by the fact that he just admitted he wasn't giving full effort, wasn't fully dialed in for the first half of the – really, for the first – what did they play? 65 games?
Yeah.
He wasn't fully dialed in for 65 games. $27 million superstar foundational piece of your team. I mean, say what you want about Simmons. He's locked in when he plays.
Yeah.
Well, for his major fault that he has, the guy's locked in. Joel isn't.
Yeah.
And that scares the hell out of me going forward with this team.
Well, yeah, because it gives you a window into just how far he still needs to go to be a guy that's going to lead a team to a championship. Like, he still isn't there. Like, he still isn't there. He still doesn't know what it takes to come into a season locked in and nothing with championship on his mind.
Oh, yeah.
Like, to me, that's how Giannis came in this year. Embarrassed that he got knocked out of the playoffs by Kawhi Leonard in Toronto after being up 2-0, and came back and was having a better year individually than he had the MVP season. Mm-hmm. That, to me, says that's a guy who went home and said, this ain't happening to me again.
Not again.
Yeah.
Not again.
Whereas Mr. Embiid, who was crying in the arms and chest of his girlfriend, mm-hmm. you know, uncontrollably
and
sobbing.
And Marc Gasol.
Yeah,
that was weird.
That was probably worse than crying to his girlfriend.
Exactly.
I didn't really have much of a problem there. Yeah. But you're crying in the arms of your opponent? Come on, bro.
Exactly.
Yeah, that didn't make you mad over the offseason. That didn't force you to come in ready to go win a title.
Yes.
No, you came back pouting to Jimmy Butler and J.J. Redick's not here anymore.
Exactly. 215. So we'll kick it around and your reaction to that. 215-592-9494. That's how you reach us. Coming up at 3 o'clock, Ricky Bitalico. So
let me just say, listen.
Yeah.
I've been married almost 20 years. Oh. I'm just saying.
All right.
I can understand Joel being emotional, and when he got in that tunnel and he saw Paula's face, I mean, he was looking for a hug. That's what he was looking for, and he just melted. I'm spooning with Sparty nightly.
What was that?
I'm just saying. I'm trying to describe how he got to the point where
Did you ever have a bad game and cry when you saw your wife in the hallway?
Like when Joe Jarevicius
I did, man. That Tampa game.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
When Joe Jarevicius is going down the sideline, Ike was looking for Renee?
I didn't see Renee, but I was crying when that happened.
I'm like, yeah, there's a couple games that made me cry that after
I'm actually tearing up thinking about it right now, in fact. 215-592-9494. Quick timeout. We'll come back. Continue with your phone calls. Rob Ellis in for John Marks along with Ike Reese. WIP Sports Time is 242.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.